Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So our environment, our role as the facilitator of the Spirit of God on the inside of you is to learn those environments and learn how to stay there. So many times we have settled for a form of religiousness that we thought was Him or we said was Him when it really wasn't Him. So it's important that we understand and that if we're going to facilitate the working of Him in the earth, we need to get to know Him. Psalms chapter 8 is interesting. I told you to turn there, and I didn't turn there. Psalms chapter 8 is interesting because it's the personification of wisdom, but we know it's the Spirit of God speaking, standing next to the Creator of the universe because of the things that He says. I believe it's this. Actually, you know what? Let's go to let me just double check this. Aren't you glad that you don't have to be an expert in the Word? You say, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to know all this stuff. Well, all of us preachers have concordances. Right? I'll move to a different verse. I'll think of it here in a minute. Go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. The letter of 1 Corinthians was written to a church in Corinth. And you find some things in this letter that are very interesting. I'm going to come down here if you don't mind. You can turn me up a little bit if you would. The letter of 1 Corinthians was written to, it's in the geographical region of Greece. And so much of the time what's majored on in the book of 1 Corinthians or the letter that we wrote, we call 1 Corinthians, is if you'll stop and think about it, you'll read the text, a lot of what's majored on in this letter are things that Paul really wasn't going to address except for they asked him. But the very things that he addresses, those are the things that we always talk about in this letter when Paul was actually trying to get to another point. He talks about certain things and you get a feel for where these people are at in the letter. He talks about, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 12, verse 11, he says, I've been informed concerning you that there are quarrels among you. That would never happen in church, right? But he says, there are quarrels among you. In fact, he goes into detail about it. Verse 12, he says, I mean to say this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. And he asks a simple question, is Christ divided? We find the same thing today. This was the first temptation to go denominationalism, and Paul asked the question, is Christ divided? We're going to get into some things about what he said here in a minute, but This gives you an idea of the environment and the folks and the issues they had challenges with in this church. And he goes on to talk about the fact that, look, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in what the world would consider wisdom. In fact, the very thing that the world considers wisdom, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. The things that the world considers irrelevant, the things that the world considers foolish, those are the very things, Paul says, that God uses to bring to naught the things that are. So he's telling them, look, if you go back to Acts chapter 18, you'll find that what happened with him was he had just come out of an environment where he was in the middle of a bunch of folks. He's walking through the city and he sees all these idols, all these statues. And he found this one that said to the unknown God, so they didn't want to leave anybody out, just in case. And he finds himself in an environment of folks that just like to talk about something new and different. They just like to talk about the latest thing that came down the pipe. They like to involve themselves in deep intellectual discussions about the latest ideas. And so what you find is, and Paul begins to address them from where he is, from where they are, and he goes into reasonings about, and you read what he talked to them about. It was very brief, but one thing it mentions is nothing really happened. He walked out of there, and it says all he had is a few converts. It didn't tell you how many. Where this is a man that when he would go into a city, his city would be rocked by the power of God. But in this situation, nothing happened. And so he's leaving there and he's going into Corinth. And you follow this in Acts chapter 18. He's going into Corinth. So over here in 1 Corinthians, he's recounting that particular incident. And he's saying, you know, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in what the world would consider knowledge. I came to you with the one purpose that I was going to know Christ and him crucified, and I was going to come in the demonstration of the Spirit. Everybody say demonstration. Demonstration. So he's learning some things as he's walking from Athens into Corinth. He's recounting things. You know, what did I do? You know, what just happened here? And he realized this, and you see this also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Where he's talking about, and he prayed to the Lord three times that the Lord would do something about a situation that had been dogging him over and over again. He'd go into the cities and he would lay out the gospel. He would go to leave and all the religious, zealous religious folks would come in behind him and undo what he was trying to lay. And it dogged him out. He called it a thorn in his flesh. And he asked the Lord three times to do something about it. And the word says that the Lord's response to him was, Paul, my grace, my presence, and the working of my power are sufficient for you. So he learned something there. He learned that it's not all about what you know in your head. How many know Paul was a master debater? He was raised up by one of the greatest religious leaders of their time. He was their mentor. He was his mentor. So it wasn't that Paul didn't know how to speak. It wasn't that he wasn't a very good orator. In fact, he was just the opposite. Just like Moses. You know, many people think, well, Moses didn't really know anything. Moses was raised in the ways of the Egyptian. He was a very, very powerful man in speech, and he ran the military. So it wasn't like he didn't know anything. But yet when he went back in to set the people free, to bring the people out, he didn't utilize any of that. Likewise, when Paul came out of darkness and came over into the kingdom of God, he had to learn, everybody say learn, he had to learn how not to function from where he was comfortable. And so he's addressing this church in Corinth, and he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, the words of the cross are foolish to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved or receiving the salvation of the Lord, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And what we find that Paul's trying to lay out here is he's really trying to lay out the environment that as the new man, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that those that are in Christ, if you've declared Jesus as Lord of your life and you've declared him Lord, the word says that he brought you out of the kingdom of darkness, he puts you into the kingdom of life. And standing here in the kingdom of life, there's a whole different operating system that you're learning to function by. We don't function out of our intellect. We learn how to function out of our spirit. Because the word declares, Paul writes this in one of his letters, and I believe it's this one in 1 Corinthians. He says, those that are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. Human beings were created to be one spirit with him. They were created to function at that level of life. What you see in the book of Acts, if you open the book of Acts, and what you see in the ministry of Jesus, those are examples and the picture of what a human being is created to function, the level of life he's created to function at. Why else do you think it's in there? So Paul is simply telling these folks, look, you're functioning from the wrong place. You've got divisions among you. You're fighting among yourselves. One of you is saying, well, I adhere to Paul. One of you is saying, I'm adhere to Peter. And one of you is saying, well, I don't adhere to anybody. I adhere to Jesus only. He says, you need to understand Christ is not divided up. But then other places in this letter, you find that he goes back and continually addresses the issue of strife and division and, you know, this little group against that little group. So that's the environment that he's dealing with in this church. And then from that, I believe it's over in chapter 3. Well, it actually, he starts addressing the things that they wrote him about in chapter 7. And I think it's interesting that he addresses the things that they wrote him about in chapter 7. But we don't put two and two together. He says now in chapter 7, verse 1, he says, now concerning the things that which you have wrote. Did you ever stop to think about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth asks questions. But I want you to think about this, and there's nothing wrong with talking about marriage because they obviously had some things they need to address. But this was a question amongst in their environment that they created. They were asking these questions from where they were living, not from where Paul was trying to take them. But yet, this is all we were focused on in these letters, is this stuff. So we're completely missing what the Holy Spirit was trying to get over to the church. Again, there's nothing wrong with teaching about marriage. That's great. But you got to put the marriage relationship right back into the environment of the new man. Because he never intended for the new man to function at one level when they're at church, but then when they're during the week, they function like a normal person. In fact, in these letters, he says, there's things that I would love to share with you, but I can't. Because you're functioning as a mere man. Why did God get on them for functioning normal? Because God made a way for a human being to stop functioning as a mere man. Father's never going to require something of you that he didn't equip you to be able to do. Do you see that? So when Paul gets on them and saying, look, there's things I want to share with you, but I can't because you're even now, which means when he was writing this letter, even now, which means the things that they asked him about came out of that environment. Even now, I can't. Because you're acting like mere men. Notice this. I want the Spirit of God to just expand your perspective this morning. Because the challenge, here's the challenge that we have, folks. If we don't understand that you literally are, as a new man, as a new woman, you literally are empowered to function at a different level. You won't expect that. And you'll be comfortable with just knowing theology instead of knowing Him. There's a big difference between knowing theology and knowing Him. I don't mean it's bad because I have a bunch of them, but I've said this before. Folks, listening to a teaching series is not spending time with Him. It's not. Nothing wrong with it. And we're going to get into that right now. There's nothing wrong with that, but the fact of the matter is not spending time with Him. That's just getting what He showed somebody else, and you get in on it, which is good. Because how many know that the body of Christ is not one member? It's many, but it's all coming from the same source. So I'm not saying don't read books and don't spend time with, you know, a teaching series or whatever. We need to do those things because there are things that the Spirit of God has given folks that we need to get that. But please understand and don't make the confusion that that's spending time with Him, because it's not. Because He's a real person. Amen? He's a real person. If He's not, then what are we doing? We say He is to everybody out there. Notice what He says here. Let's go back to where He addressed that. I have heard some of you say, I follow Paul, I follow Peter, I follow whatever. I want you to get something. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, each one of you is saying this, I am of Paul. Or some of you are saying, I'm of Apollos, or some of you are saying, I'm of Cephas, or some of you are saying, I'm of Christ. I want to address this, because how many know there's a difference between natural loyalties and divine loyalties? Natural loyalties is this is what it looks like. And you hear it today, too. Well, I listen to so-and-so. Well, I listen to so-and-so. Well, I listen to, and you can fill in the blank. The problem with natural loyalties is this, is it causes you to hear to one while you disassociate from another. That's not divine loyalty, that's natural loyalty. Paul's not talking about natural loyalties here. So he says, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. And he says, is Christ divided? Natural loyalty. Adhering to one at the expense of another will stop us from walking in the kingdom inheritance that's ours. You say, well, I don't do that. Well, that's great. But have you ever done this? You hear something that somebody says, And then you hear somebody that you like say something else. And you say, I'm going with that. You just did it. That's a natural loyalty. That's not God loyalty. Because what a God loyalty does is this. A God loyalty is this way. You notice in the life of David, you remember when King Saul was after him? And David had a number of opportunities to take his life. I mean, handed to him on a platter. Obviously demonstrated his enemy. But yet when Saul died, and Saul's son Jonathan died, he grieved not just the loss of Jonathan, but he grieved the loss of both of them. That was a divine loyalty. David, if anybody had the right to celebrate that Saul was dead, David did. But he didn't function from a natural loyalty place. He functioned from a divine loyalty place. 1 John 4:6. And I've read this before, but I'm going to bring your attention back to it. This is the benchmark of those of us that esteem ourselves as spiritual individuals. And I hope everybody in here does. This is the benchmark to know whether you are functioning at that level or not. 1 John 4:6 says this, we are from God. This is John talking. He says, he who knows God, or literally in the Greek New Testament, it's an ongoing, constant environment. He who is knowing God, in other words, you're spending time with him. He who is knowing God is listening to us. John wasn't in that list that Paul brought out, that we know of. But he made a statement. If you're spending time with the Lord and it's an ongoing constant for you, then you're recognizing the things that are coming out of us that are him. And you're listening. The benchmark of spirituality for us as the new man, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, is you spend enough time with him on an ongoing, constant basis that you recognize those things that come out of the rest of the body of Christ, and you recognize and celebrate those things that are him. Did you hear what I just said? Folks, let's break it down to the most basic thing. If we're talking about denominations, folks, denominations aren't the will of God because Christ is not divided. But we don't put down the Catholics and adhere to the Protestants. That's natural loyalties. We don't do that. If we're Catholic, we don't esteem and adhere to the Catholics and put down the Protestants. That's natural loyalty. Divine loyalty recognizes because, see, here's the thing. It all comes from your relationship with him. Everything stems from that. If there isn't one, then you're in big trouble. Then the only place you have to go is natural. Because you haven't given him a voice in your life. You don't know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. But if we spend time with him and it's an ongoing, constant environment in our life, then we know him, and so we recognize those things that are from him. And so when in the body of Christ, our job is to just foster and develop that environment with him, and then when we come out and be amongst the world, we pick up on and recognize those things that are coming from him out of everybody else, and we celebrate those things. That's divine loyalty. Divine loyalty is not devotion to one at the expense of somebody else. It's recognizing and celebrating. And the verse I was going to take you to, it was the personification of wisdom. And maybe you'll find it in your reading this week. It was the personification of wisdom. And wisdom is speaking. He says, I believe it's in Proverbs. He says, I was with the Creator at the beginning. And he uses these words. He says, I wouldn't say celebrate. He said, I celebrate the sons of men. Why would he celebrate the sons of men? Because God made them. And everything that's God, the Holy Spirit relishes and loves and values. This is why it's whacked, folks, for us to go out into the world, go grab a stick with a sign on it and begin to protest and act like an idiot. Not everybody's going to agree with us, that's fine. But they don't know God like you do. And they'll never will if we don't learn how to celebrate, at least value them as human beings. Because the fact of the matter is in this letter to the Corinthians, and I believe it's 2 Corinthians actually, he talks about before he's, 5:16 or 5:17, he says, all things have passed away, all things become new. But the previous verse and the verses after that, he says, to know no man after the flesh. Because, and then after that, in verse 19, 20, on in there, he says, Because the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and He's not holding their trespasses against them. Do they have to take ownership of that? Yeah, they do. But Jesus didn't die for every Christian in a church house today. He purchased the entire human race. And so Paul's dealing with this issue and these mindsets of that creep into the thought processes of men and try to separate. There are a lot of different people out there in the body of Christ, and all of them God has given something. The challenge for us as mature individuals and mature believers and mature parts of the body of Christ is, do you spend enough time with Him to recognize and pick up on the God part of what somebody would be saying? And then get a hold of that and celebrate it. Because that's what Holy Spirit is expecting us to do. The environment that He flourishes in is one where we don't devote ourselves to one and make a choice not to listen to this one, not to listen to that one, not listen. Well, I only listen to, and then fill in the blank. That's not maturity. That's natural loyalties. That's not divine loyalty. The Holy Spirit of God is calling us to a level that we celebrate in the most basic way. We celebrate human beings. It doesn't mean you have to agree with what they do. But you better value and honor them as a human being, because they were made in the image of God, and their daddy values them. In fact, He called them a pearl of great price. What do you say about them? We ought to be saying the same thing. Because the reality of it is, and here's what you find in this letter, and this is really what Paul is trying to get over in this letter. He's saying, look, you're functioning from the wrong level. There's divisions among you, there's backbiting among you, there's fighting among you, there's arrogance among you. You're not connected. You're not hearing Him. In fact, by the time, go over to... before we go there, let me just make sure I finish up this. Oh, it's Proverbs 8:31. Holy Spirit said this. He said, I was beside Him as a master workman. I knew I had it somewhere. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Now picture the Spirit of God before the foundation of the world. And then all through the creative process. And then when they made man. And then He says this, verse 31, rejoicing in the world, rejoicing in His earth, and having My delight in the sons of men. How many have ever heard this question? Well, how come the things we see in the book of Acts, we don't see nowadays? I've heard it a few times, but that's not necessarily a true statement. But I can tell you how we can see it more. Because Paul brings it out in this letter of 1 Corinthians. And it's also brought out in the letter to Philippians. And that is, if we want to see what Father sees, if we want to flow in the power and the ability that Father has on behalf of other folks, like you see in the ministry of Jesus, like you see in the book of Acts, then you have to stay in and stay connected to His nature. And don't get off in your own head. In this letter in 1 Corinthians, he explains why at some point the gifts of the Spirit will go away. It wasn't because it was the will of the Father. It was because of the fact that they got off over in the natural man and they began to see in a glass darkly. You were not created to see in a glass darkly. As the new man, you were not created. This should not be a theology that you adhere to and make excuses for why God doesn't do things. Because who is He addressing? He's addressing a bunch of folks that if you read the whole letter in context, they're in the wrong place. So for us to stand back today and say, well, after all, you know, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We look into a glass darkly. You're only doing that if you are living in the natural man. Because that's where these folks were living. Remember what he said. There's a lot of things I'd love to share with you, but I can't. Because even now, you're walking as mere men. The only reason that the glass was dark, and the only reason they're seeing in part, is because there was too much of them in the way. And that's in the context of the entire letter, that's exactly what those verses are talking about. It has nothing to do with, well, when this whole thing is over with, we'll get a better view. Prove it. Okay, I will. Look at what he says. Go ahead a couple of chapters. Remember how he started the letter off? He started the letter off saying that you come behind in no gift, though you're enriched in him in all wisdom and all knowledge. Right? Would that all knowledge include everything that he knows? Yes. Would that wisdom include everything that he has? Yes. So from that place forward, that's the foundation of which Paul is building on. He talks about being a wise master builder. He said, I'm a wise master builder, and I laid a foundation. Each one needs to be mindful of how he's building on that. What was he talking about? Well, he says, and I built it. You know, there's no other foundation except Jesus Christ. But you could say it like this, because he already said it previously in this same letter. He said, when I came to you, I purposed to know nothing except him. So you could say by the time he gets to talking about how he's a wise master builder and that he's laid a foundation, basically here's what he's saying. Folks, if you look at my life, I've laid out how this thing's supposed to go. I've laid the foundation. I've illustrated to you what this thing is supposed to look like. And there is no other version than this. And it's all based on knowing him. So anybody that builds on this after me needs to be mindful how they're building. Because they need to be building from the same place that I'm coming from in knowing him. And you see what was produced through Paul in his relationship of knowing him. It's illustrated all over the book of Acts. He turned the world upside down because he was a carrier of the presence of God. And because of that, the power of God flowed through him. And he came to the place where he learned, I'm not going to function from my mind. I'm not going to function from my understanding. I'm not going to function from a place of being pre-programmed to say this. If they say this, you say that. If they say this, you say this. I'm not going to function from the natural place. In fact, the Spirit of God has taught me and trained me. My presence for you is enough. Learn how to function from the place of your interaction with my presence. And my power will always be there. This is what he's trying to lay out for these folks in this letter. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Philippians 3, he says, my desire is to know him and the glory of his resurrection. So everything you see that came out of Paul came from that connection. Folks, we can't afford to live any place else except there. Because the more we live there, the more we see what he sees. The more we say what he says because we pick up on it. And then you become, it's about being a carrier of the presence of God and knowing how to release that presence of him in the most potent manner possible. He talks about, in this letter, he's dealing with the issue of sin, and he says, you know, when you sin, all other sins are outside the body. In other words, they affect somebody else. But when you're over into immorality, you're actually sinning against your own body. In other words, the recipient of that is your own body, not somebody else. See, the world looks at it like, well, I'm not hurting anybody. When in actuality, you are, you're hurting you. Because when you function from that place, Paul brings this out in this letter. It's all in here. He brings it out from this place. He says, you are created. Do you not understand that the Spirit of God, you are created. The body of a man was created for God to indwell. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, you were all created to drink of that Spirit. So when we disconnect from that and we start living as a natural man, and this is an instant by instant situation in our life, folks. When you disconnect from living connected with Him and you connect with your own natural ideas, your own natural head, your own natural thoughts, your own natural desires, your own natural impulses, whatever, what you're actually doing, your body is not, do you understand your body is not a real person? Your body just follows along. Your body is an unwilling participant. He said in Ephesians 4, he says, don't live in the vanity of your own mind. Because when you live in the vanity of your own mind, you are separated from the life of God. Why did he say that when he's addressing these folks living as a natural person and getting caught over in all these natural desires and all these natural things, immorality and things like that, he says, you're literally sinning against your own body. Your body is an unwilling participant in all these things because it's just based on your own decisions. You don't realize that every time you make the wrong decision, you're causing your body to live separate and severed from the life of God. When your body was designed to live saturated with the life of God. Can you see that? You can read all this when you get home. You just read the whole letter. It'll all be there. Your body was designed to live part and parcel with the Spirit of God. Not two separate entities. And so by the time he gets to... Go over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, when I first started this church, the Spirit of God had been kind of dealing with me about these whole gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, I've been in church, well, pretty much my whole life, I think. But, you know, you learn different things at different stages. Which is cool, because at least you're there. You know? But he started talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He said, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are not something you're supposed to teach a series on once a year. He says, the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be who you are all the time, every time, any place, anytime, anywhere. Because you're living one Spirit with me. What did he say at the beginning of this letter? He says, you've been enriched in Him in all... speech and all knowledge. Then you get to chapter 12 and you see he starts naming the manifestations of the Spirit. Verse 7, verse 8, he says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the same, the word of knowledge. Is that being enriched in knowledge? The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge is have an insight into something present tense or something that's happened in the past in the life of someone. Only he knows it. But he shares something with you. But it's something that's going on right now or something that's happened to them in the past. Do you remember what Paul said in, I believe, around chapter 3? He said, why are you fussing about... well, I follow this person, I follow that person. He said, Christ is not divided. He said, in fact, all things belong to you. Life belongs to you, death belongs to you. In other words, you have authority over everything. Things present and things to come belong to you. Well, wouldn't things present include being in a situation where if you're ministering to somebody, you need his vantage point to be able to bring deliverance? What do you think the word of wisdom is? Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is a word of direction from the Spirit of God on how to steer them into their future. Isn't that a demonstration of all things belonging to you? So why don't we not expect these things to function in our life? Why do we get this mindset? It's so fascinating because, you know, I came up and I've been exposed to a number of different thought processes. And there is a thought process out there. Well, you know, it's only if you're a pastor, then you're supposed to flow in this. But I'm not, so I won't. Oh, if you're an apostle, that's where you're supposed to flow in these things. But I'm not, so I don't. Well, if you're a prophet, then you're supposed to flow in the prophetic. But I'm not, so I don't. Where is that in here? He just got done telling us, I think it's in chapter 3, that all things belong to you. Does all not mean all? But do you see how we've categorized and separate? We get so used to reading things in chapters that we forget the thought process that came before we're reading. We'll open the Bible in 1 Corinthians and read chapter 12 and forget what he said in chapter 11, chapter 10, chapter 9, chapter 8, chapter 7. In chapter 8, he sits there and tells you, he says, if you spend time with him, he's in the first 3 or 4 verses of chapter 8. He says, the one that thinks he knows something doesn't actually know as he ought to know yet because the one who's loving him is receiving being known by him. There's that element of humility. Because the more time we spend with him, the more he keeps continually speaking into you the blameless, flawless one that he sees you as. Go read it, Ephesians 5. He sees you without spot or wrinkle. This is why, folks, it's important. We have got to live a life in front of him. Because if you don't live a life, and you can't get it from a tape, you can't get it from a book, you can't get it from a TV show, you have got to get it from him. Not that there's anything wrong with any of that. But it's not him. He's the one that knew you before you set foot on this planet. And he speaks things over you and he needs those things to sink in. John said this in 1 John. We know and believe the love that God has for us. I'm telling you, that one place will open the door for your body to be healed, for you to start flowing in what the Word calls 1 Corinthians and gifts of the Spirit, because you'll keep yourself out of your own mind, your own vantage point, and your own anything, and you'll begin to see that he sees, and you'll begin to hear what he's saying, and you'll keep yourself free from your own perspectives, your own vantage points, and you'll begin to declare the Word of the Lord in the life of somebody else, and you'll begin to have, he'll use you to set the course of someone's life, and you won't just go to somebody and start talking to them about Jesus. You'll let him speak to them. He's called us to let him speak to people, not just to tell him about him like he's not there. I don't know, I was going to get into a bunch of stuff today, but I think that's good enough. So by the time you get over 1 Corinthians 12 or 14 and he's talking about looking in the glass darkly. Don't you ever, 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 ever let these words come out of your mouth ever again. Well, you know, we only know in part and we prophesy in part now. But when we go to heaven, we'll see it all. Ain't going to do any good now, then. What good is it going to do then? You're done. That's not what that's talking about. He's dealing with people on the level of living as mere natural human beings. And he's saying, look, the Spirit of God has created you to live at a totally different level. And it's for every single person that's breathing. But if you're in the body, then you're already connected to the spine, which is the Spirit of God. You were created to live and drink of this Spirit. You were created to enjoy a life every single day, getting up, breathing in and out, picking up what the Spirit of God puts in here all the time. My wife mentioned earlier that we're gonna show a movie in August. And we're showing this movie in August really because we're making preparations to show and to premiere a movie that is the sequel to the one I'm going to show you the trailer for right now. In September 20th, I believe it is. We're going to premiere a movie that no one has seen. And there are a number of places around the country that have had an opportunity to premiere the movie before anyone else gets to see it. But it's all about a guy that got this crazy idea. You know how amazing technology is nowadays? My son just told me the other day that, yeah, most commercials are shot with a camera. Looks like a basic camera. He said they're cheap, so, you know, if anything happens to them, they just get another one. I thought they had this all expensive equipment and stuff. This guy decided, I'm gonna make a movie about what happens when you just, every day you get up, you're led by the Spirit of God, what happens? No plan, no agenda. We just want to go someplace and follow the Spirit of God around and see what He does. So the first movie in August is called Holy Ghost. I'm not a fan of the title, honestly, because the Holy Spirit's not a ghost, but, you know, they title it, so, you know, they paid for it, they can call it what they want to. But the next one in September, the one we're going to premiere, is really it's part two of this movie. They filmed them both together. It was all one deal. But they said when they began to edit it, they began to realize there's two different things going on in these movies. So they separated them, and this is part one, and in September we're going to see part two. But I want you to watch very closely what you see in this movie, and I hope it blows your mind. Because Holy Spirit wants to blow your mind, and He wants you to allow Him to live. Go ahead and show that.
He's a gift from the Father. And if you ask for bread, He won't give you a stone.
We're here filming a Christian documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. About the Holy Spirit.
Yeah?
All over the earth.
Hey, listen, guys. Before you go up in there, like, listen.
Listen.
Brian and Fieldy and me, we want to pray for you right now as you're going through. Regardless of what you believe, okay? If you've never given your life to Jesus, come up here. Do it right now.
I've never been the same since. And I, you know, since I asked Jesus into my heart and into my life, I've never been the same.
I hold that today, speaking generally, there's been a silent divorce in the church between the Word and the Spirit.
Walking with Jesus, filled by the Holy Spirit, is so much better than anything you could do for God. You know, any work, any art. I mean, because you become the art. You become the work.
It's one of my biggest prayers, two prayers, not to ever be offended by anybody ever again the rest of my life, and to be the perfect conduit for what the Holy Spirit wants to do.
As the church just said, okay, God, no more boxes, no more limits, no more we have to control everything. And we just gave God total control. Yeah, it's scary, but I think that's the way that we are meant to live.
This is a movie about risk. I want to take the greatest risk possible as a filmmaker, to make a movie that is completely led by the Holy Spirit. No plan, no safety net. Just show up wherever He leads me, find the adventure, and make God famous.
How many know Jesus wants to be famous in this city? I've spent my whole entire life in one form or another, in somebody's thought process, in church. And I've come to the point in my life where before I leave this planet, I'm going to spend my life in his thought process. Because I've done it all. And I'm telling you in these last days that we're coming to a place where I don't care what the division is as far as the denomination. I have seen the Pope bent over a chair in a public setting worshiping Jesus. And everybody's praying in tongues all around him. It doesn't matter what the divisions are, folks. Human beings are coming to the place where I don't care about anything. I just want him. I already know what it looks like. I just want him. And the Spirit of God is looking for people. It's like Dan talked about last week. The power of God was always on Jesus to heal. But there was one person that said, enough is enough. I want it. And they pushed through to make that connection. The Spirit of God is looking for human beings. You've already been created to live life and function from this level. In these last days, things are going to be accelerated so quick because the heart of Daddy has always been for people. He wants them. He bought them. He wants them to know who he really is. He's been sold wrongly for so many years. But he's going to blow down the doors of religious thought process. How many know when Jesus showed up, it completely went against what the religious system thought he was supposed to look like? Here God is standing right in front of him and said, no, that's not it. He doesn't fit this. We've done the same thing today. We get comfortable with our ideas and our theologies, and this is the way God's supposed to look, and this is how a Christian's supposed to look, and this is how a Christian's supposed to act, and this is how a Christian's supposed to speak. And the Spirit of God's saying, that's all the idea of a man. All I want is a human being that will let me use them as a conduit and say what I want to say, do what I want to do. His question to us is, are you one of them? I believe you are. But I believe in saying that, I believe we need to understand we better hold on to our hats. Because he's excited. He's excited about what he wants to do in the city. It's not what you know, folks, it's who you know. I'm going to say that again. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Knowing stuff is good too. But don't ever let what you know get in the way of who you know. Or how you know who you know. Because just when you think you got him figured out, he'll blow your mind. And he'll do something just outside that parameter you thought was the edge. His desire is to keep moving that parameter back until you just say, you know what, Lord? Nothing you can do at this point would surprise me. Let's just go for it. Everybody stand up. You know, I believe this, that obviously I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are standing here. There's a whole lot of things to do on Sunday morning. My wife was on the way in. She said, you know, it's amazing how empty the streets are on Sunday mornings. So there's a lot of things to do on Sunday mornings. It's not like you guys don't have a hunger for the Spirit of God, the things of God, because you're here. But what I believe the Spirit of God is trying to get over to us is continually challenge, what is your hunger level for me? When somebody talks about somebody being healed, somebody being set free, an environment of the Spirit of God that produced a certain result in the life of somebody, what should take place in an environment like this is the eruption of joy and celebration. That's what should take place. Because that tells us that we have the right attitude and the right appetite for the things that are Him. And we celebrate Him at every turn. And know this, that every time we celebrate Him at every turn, He'll do more and more and more. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just love You and praise You. And I just ask You, Lord, I just planted the seeds that You gave me. You're the one that waters and makes them grow. And I would ask You, Lord, that You would cause Your presence to rest upon everybody in this room. That You would stir up on the inside of people and wake those things up that are on the side of those desires and things, those dreams, those things that You've put into people that are in this room that they have put to bed. That You wake those things up again. That You stir up a hunger on the inside of people in this room that they're not satisfied with just knowing about You. They want to know You. And anything You're involved with, they're there. Because they just want to be where You are. And as they do those things, I just thank You that, Jesus, You've already declared that the same glory that Your Father gave You, You've given to them. And part of being one with You is experiencing and interacting with something that gets manifested in the here and now. So I just ask that You would bring these people, as You've prayed before, Jesus, that You would bring these people to a place of being one with Father. He and them and them and Him. And as a result of that, the manifested presence and power of God begins to occur all around them. And You create a hunger in them that will not be satisfied with the systems of man. And I thank You for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agree with that prayer said. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're on our way. You ready? Amen. Well, have a great week. Be blessed, because You are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.